And welcome back again to another exciting week of the Expressway. I'm Charles, Show Me the Way, here with my compadre, the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And we are, again, very upset, sad, dejected, hopeless, not hope-filled, because our Giants and Jets had a terrible weekend. I think they're both are getting ready for the golf course with 7 games left in the season. Neither one of them has actually done anything worth actually talking about. You look at the Jets, I think if you're a Jets fan, you should feel worse than a Giants fan. At least the Giants fans weren't hopeful of making it to the playoff. They just wanted a good product and wanted to have a sense that they were getting better. And I don't even think they accomplished that this year.
Well, for me, it's kind of weird because going into the Germany game against Carolina last week, I knew, remember the week before, the coach of the New Orleans Saints got fired when they lost to Carolina. So I said, the Giants, there's no way they're going to lose to lowly Carolina, especially with a rookie young quarterback, I mean, second-year quarterback who was not very good. And see, I think what happened is that maybe they got jet lag going over that long flight over there because they started off slow. And when you give a sleeping dog room to kind of roam, it let them get confidence. And I think the Giants let Carolina get a lot of confidence, and they went into the halftime with the lead, and I think that it was just too hard to come back. They gave effort, and that's the thing that I will give the Giants a credit for. They gave effort. And I think that's, you know, they always want to see if the guys are playing for the coach. But what does this reveal to you, Charles Way, when they lose to Carolina, one of the worst teams in the NFL?
When you look at the team as a whole, when you started out, we all said that they weren't, if they were going to make the playoffs, it would be one of those surprise playoff runs that they did in Coach Daboll's first season, right? Really what I think I was expecting as a fan was to see improvement, to see competitiveness, to see guys excelling, getting better, and being hopeful, i.e. Jalin Hyatt. You know, he had an opportunity since Darius Slayton was injured. He had a chance to play. He showed some growth, albeit in a small sample size. He showed some growth. I think based on how Daniel Jones has played throughout the season up to this game, I think a small segment or a small percentage of the fan base still had hope that he could kind of resurrect his career, especially since in the previous few weeks he wasn't that bad, right? But after this week, and I'm a Giants fan, I don't like to kill players, but after this week, I don't see how you can move forward with him as your quarterback. I can see how you can move forward with for the rest of the season with Daniel Jones, because Drew Locke is not the answer, and your boy Touchdown Tony is definitely not the answer. And so when you look at where the Giants go for the rest of the season, it's Daniel Jones all the way. There is no better option, right? But I do hope that having Daniel Jones as the starting quarterback, it will help them have a better opportunity of getting a first-round draft pick, at the number one draft pick.
Well, see, it's hard to get the number one draft choice because that means you got to lose practically the rest of the games. And they're tied for the worst record right now in the NFL. Giants don't tank. A lot of teams in the NFL don't tank because that means the players would have to play a part in it. No one's going to go out there half behind because that's how you get hurt. I'm always wishing for Danny Jones to get better. As a matter of fact, I thought that this was going to be something, especially when I was optimistic in the preseason, that his knee was sound. But he's still inaccurate. He still doesn't get rid of the ball when he should. He still misses receivers that are open. And if he was in his first or second year, I may say something, but he's in his sixth year, Charles Lee.
And honestly, it goes back to when I played with Dave Brown, and it kind of has those eerie, similar type of outcomes where Dave didn't finish the season. Danny Cannell came in and finished the season for him. And that year we actually had a playoff run because we had an okay quarterback behind him, right? And the way we played was a little bit different. You didn't put the game in Danny Cannell's hands, and we had a good defense, right? I think the most disappointing thing about this Giants team is we thought that the defense would be a lot better than it is, and I think a lot of the same concerns I had going into the season is kind of rearing its ugly head now, is that they can't stop the run at all. They're almost as darn near as bad as the Dallas Cowboys stopping the run. I think they're like 29th in the run defense.
Yep. Well, see, my problem is that I think going into the season, with all the defensive backs and things they have, they wanted to be able to stop the pass. I think that they overestimated, and now teams are running on them, and that's how they get ahead of the Giants. Look at these stats. The Giants should have won the game. 24 first downs to 15. They had a balanced offense, 342 yards compared to 306. It's a game that they let get away, and I don't know how you get back those kind of games.
Yeah, you look at turnovers. Turnovers play a huge role. You had that awful fumble in overtime by Tracy. Yeah. And that obviously cost them the game, but I think it goes much deeper than that. First half, they were just seemed inept in all phases of the game. Defense let Carolina's offense do as they will in the first half, and the offense didn't look like they could do anything or have any type of success. I was reading an article. They said even Evan Neal was the highest graded offensive lineman for that game, and that's crazy because we were all killing him at the beginning of the season. And when you look at individually these players, they do have pieces that could propel them to a good team. I just think that offensively, I think some of it is the play calling. But you don't know, is it the play calling or is it the quarterback? It's hard to tell.
It's okay, but Charles, both you and I played offense. It has to be the quarterback, because any time that the coach throws the play in, it's up to the quarterback to execute. He can change the play at any time that he wants. He can look at something different. The thing that I see on him is that I'll see somebody open down the field, and sometimes Danny Jones doesn't see them. And I think you can't have many misses, because in the course of an NFL game, you know, in this place, there were 73 plays. That's 73 chances by yourself. You can make anything happen. And I think that he's not doing what he should do in his sixth year playing for the Giants. I know a couple of them, he was injured, but still, you see Saquon Barkley got injured and came back 100%. I mean, he worked hard for his knee. Maybe he's just not a starting quarterback in the NFL.
And I think you're right. And he could have, like, the same type of career trajectory as a Geno Smith or Sam Darnold. Look at all these guys that are actually sat for probably 10 years in the league, and now they're having a ton of success. And maybe that's Daniel Jones. He may just need to sit back and watch and kind of watch the game for a few years, and then once he gets his opportunity again, once he's a lot more mature, maybe then he will be ready for prime time. But right now, the Giants, it's really about, can they get the number one pick and who that number one pick is going to be? Is it going to be Shedeur Sanders, or is it going to be Cam Ward?
The scary part is we don't know the answer to that, because as the college season goes on, we find out the deficiencies in the quarterback. You look at even this year, there's a lot of, even the number one draft choice from the Chicago Bears, he's having a tough year. I mean, the only one that's doing well is the kid in Washington and the kid in New England, because the fourth round draft choice that went to Minnesota, he got hurt. So I just think it's a flip of the coin. You don't know the timing of it all, and you don't want to tank games, because I think. But the bad thing is that maybe, Charles, they have to look through maybe trading for another quarterback who was bad his first couple years, and now he's beginning to come in his own. Because I don't think a rookie can come in here in his first year and bring the Giants to a higher level of performance.
I think when you look at the college football season and you look at the top performing quarterbacks in college football, I think because of his background, because of his father, I think Shedeur Sanders gives you the best chance to kind of emulate how a C.J. Stroud came in or a Jaden Daniels that come in, or even a Drake May for that. For if you're looking at Drake May's career, he sat for a couple of games and they brought him in, and he's playing well, yes. And he's surprising a lot of people. So I think if you put them in the right offense and you surround them with the right complementary pieces, I think you give them a chance to win. And I think the Redskins had the right complementary pieces. They have great receivers. They have a good offensive line, not a great offensive line, a good offensive line, and they have a great running game. And they rely on those running backs to make plays, and it helps that Jaden Daniels can run the ball a little bit.
Well, it's going to be interesting because they're going to be with the Eagles to see who's the best team in the NFC East, and that's something that's going to be different. But I want the Giants to step up. I was disappointed in Tyrone Tracy because he fumbles the ball. I don't care how good you look. You remember, you played with Tiki Barber. Tiki Barber hit 200 yards, but he had two fumbles and it messed up the game. You can't put the ball on the ground. You're losing the money for your team. I thought he had really great potential. He looked great on some of his runs, but you can't put the ball on the ground.
I think you get careless, and I think that's unfortunately a rookie mistake where I think he's getting too comfortable. Look at him. He rushed for 100 yards in this game. 5.7 average. You look at what he's done, and let's look at what the offensive line has done. 167 total rushing yards. I mean, from a team that couldn't run the ball last year a lick, with probably the best running back in the NFL and Saquon Barkley. So I think I see a lot of bright spots on the offense. I think what I am concerned about is Malik Nabers. You see his efficiency from week one and week two to now, and I know there was some injuries through there, but his long is 19 yards for a guy that's supposed to be your playmaker. That's not good enough.
Well, something happened in the game, though, Charles, because I watched him in particular, and when Danny Jones threw the ball, there wasn't a big separation. And I think as a receiver that's as good as Malik, if he's full strength, I don't know if he's not, he had a concussion, he sat out of the game. I just think that you've got to be able to run good routes enough where you get away from some of the great defensive backs. Even though Carolina is a bad football team, they got some good defensive backs, and they were close on every single opportunity that Danny Jones had. And I think that it's up to the receiver to get separation, because now I've looked at it over the time, and the quarterback, he's got to trust the receiver is going to be where he is. If he's supposed to be at 12 yards, he can't be at 14 or 13. And I saw Malik Nabers not have, and this is the first time I've really seen it all season, maybe something is wrong with him because he's not getting separation, and I don't think he's getting his opportunities to get the ball thrown to him as much as he was in the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I really do think there's some frustration setting in, and especially all of the commotion surrounding Daniel Jones, that could be potentially getting into their ears as well and kind of putting the blame on the quarterback, saying this quarterback isn't good enough to get me the ball, and so I'm not getting the ball anyway, or he won't put me in a great position to make a good play. So that may be playing into it and how he's playing. But let's turn our attention to the defense, because we've been talking about the offense a great deal. But this defense, I mean, outside of Dexter Lawrence, who on the defensive line can you count on to be there, in not only in the run game, but in the passing game? You haven't even heard Aziz Ajulari's name for the past few weeks, right? Because he came out like gangbusters. The first week he took the place of Kayvon Thibodeau, he was like all over the place. And you were like, man, this dude is amazing. And then now you don't hear anything. You can see Brian Burns. He's starting to pick up his efficiency, but I still am concerned about how he holds up against the run. I don't think he's very disciplined in the run game, and he's still small in size and can't hold that point of attack when you need him to.
And I think being able to be a good tackler in the open field is detrimental to a team when you're trying to stop a person on third down. The fact that he got rid of Nick McCloud, is that the one he got rid of, the coach did? And I was trying to wonder why they got rid of him, but he's trying to send a message. And I don't know what message you're sending to your defensive backs, because they're the youngest part of your team. The Giants have, I think, something like 49 of 53 players they're signed for next year. So they're in a good position with the young group of kids that they have. And if they can put some things together, they still have a chance. And I think that John Mara is going to last, is going to allow Brian Daboll and Joe Shane at least one more year after this one.
And speaking of that, let's take us to our stock up and stock down segment, where we go through a few of the players and we talk about what their stock is, stock up or stock down, and see after this week's game, where do they fit in? Obviously, everybody, this is easy. I think everybody has sold this stock. This is probably a penny stock right now in Daniel Jones, so it's stock down for me.
And I totally agree with you, and I really hate to say it because he's the leader of your team, so stock down on Danny Jones.
Tyrone Tracy Jr., that tough game. Obviously, I chalk that up to being a rookie and not knowing the situation, critical situation. You got to hold the ball high and tight, make sure you protect the ball. I think he was carrying it really loose when he fumbled that ball, and that caused the fumble and the Giants to lose the game. I still think the stock is up because he did get 100 yards.
I agree. I think the stock is up, but he's going to learn from this game because you cannot put the ball on the rug when the game is on the line. Because I look at now players, they slam the ball with their fists trying to knock the ball out of your hand. That's more than they did when you and I were playing. So you got to especially be tough. So I'm going to say stock up, and hopefully he'll learn from this game.
I agree. Our defense, we just got finished talking about the defense a little bit. I'm indifferent about Shane Bowen. I'm not crazy about him, but I'm not disappointed in him either. I just don't think he's aggressive enough. Especially for the defensive talent that they have and the personnel that they have. You gotta tailor your defense to the personnel you have. If you gotta be more aggressive because they lack aggressiveness, then you need to make them aggressive. And I think that's where I see the disappointment, is that he's not tailoring his defense to his personnel.
Well, what I liked about Wink last year's defensive coordinator is that he would send a blitz anytime. You never know when he's going to do it. And I think this defensive coordinator has got to do that, especially on third down situations when they least expect it. You can bring somebody off the corner or make him, anytime you have more than four guys rushing the passer, it's a blitz. So I think that he's holding back a little bit. And he's got, in these last seven games, he's going to have to step up, or the Giants may get a new defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and that's a position where if there is someone better, would you go after them?
Well, the thing about it, it depends on – these last seven games are going to tell a story for the Giants, because everybody's got to step up. They're going to have to show Coach Brian Daboll if they want to play. They're going to have to give effort every single play, and they're going to be evaluating the last seven games of the year.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the top evaluated people on the team is going to be Coach Brian Daboll. Is how does he finish up the year? Does he – put together, does a team actually continue to believe in what he's doing? Are they going to continue to play hard for him? Are they going to be in games week in and week out? So this is going to be a big game for Coach Daboll. I still think, I know there is a lot of talk about him possibly on the hot seat and maybe getting fired, but based on the circumstances, I would give him one more year, especially given that Daniel Jones wasn't the answer and probably is 80% of the problem.
But if you think about it, Brian Daboll did not bring Danny Jones in here. That was not his chosen quarterback. He had a great first year, and then everything kind of went downhill. I would definitely bring him back, and I think he's made a few mistakes this year, maybe because he lost weight, so he looks good. He doesn't yell as much as he used to. I think he's learning as a head coach, and I think his stock should at least allow him to come back another year.
Absolutely. Joe Shane, obviously you bring in the head coach, and so your butt is on the line, even though you've had great draft picks. I think out of the past 3 years, he probably has about 20 draft picks actually playing and making an impact on this team. So if you're going to go by draft picks and what he's done in free agency, I don't know if he's done a lot in free agency. I think he did bring in Dory Jackson the first year, which was a good pickup. But outside of that, I don't see how you can fire him just because he's trying to rebuild a roster that took a real bad hit the last couple of years.
Well, I think the stock is just okay for him, but if I go by the players that he's got the last 3 years, he has brought in some people. He's let some people go without getting anything in return a couple times on defensive backs and Saquon Barkley, et cetera. But I think he's brought in some good players. He's building something, but this is the NFL. This is New Jersey. This is New York. We want it done in one day. We're going to wait 3 years to rebuild and stuff like that. They got to get a quarterback, and I think that's going to simplify things for him. So it's just kind of scary for me a little bit.
Yeah, so I agree. Stock is still up on Joe Shane, but he is tied to Coach Daboll. I think they go hand in hand when you're evaluating either one of them.
Yep.
So I'm hoping that they bring both of them back, even though they could lose the rest of the seven games. Okay, as long as there's a sign of improvement, I think you bring them both back next year.
Yeah, I do agree. So he could be like Joe Judge and lose the last seven and mess up his job, but I don't think that's going to happen. Hopefully this week off will get the Giants to do some things. Before we go to the break, who we got coming up, Charles?
We got O.J. Anderson, Otis Anderson, one of the Giant greats, and should be in the Hall of Fame for in the NFL, something that hopefully the veteran committee corrects. But St. Louis Cardinals, great MVP of the NFL, New York Giants Super Bowl team in 1990. Excited to have him and can't wait to hear what he has to say.
Well, we're talking to the great running back, O.J. Anderson, formerly of the St. Louis Cardinals, New York Giants MVP in the Super Bowl. Really has had a great life. And he's playing golf with us here at the Montclair Country Club. And you know what I want to ask you, though, too, is when you look back on your career, and when I first noticed you for St. Louis, and I was playing with the Giants at the time, you had a heck of a game against the Cowboys, and I was an anti-Cowboy fan, so that's when I became a fan of Otis Anderson. You never disliked the Cowboys, or you just didn't care? Why did you dislike them?
Because they deemed themselves American team. How you just give yourself a name, right? Because you didn't name nothing. Country didn't name y'all American team. Y'all did. Y'all had them little star, and all of a sudden, you guys deem yourself American team. That's like naming yourself, get yourself a nickname. You can't give yourself a nickname in football or baseball. People got to give you that. Yep. They did. They just said, hey, man, we're American team.
So my question for you, talking about back then when you played and now, what are the major differences? Do you think, like, there are obviously the physicality of the game is a little bit different, a lot safer? But what are some of the other major differences? What about the rivalry? Has that gone a little bit?
I think they're there, but not like the intensity as it was when we came along. When you say changes of the game, it's easy to tell. One of the most incredible things that I noticed about the game is what they call non-contact injury. What the hell is non-contact injury? When you can just run up and down the field and pop a little Achilles or pop a knee out of place, and you know, listen, there are more injuries now and concussions now than it was when we played the game and we had hitting all the time.
All in practice.
And then somebody said to me, well, you had a concussion, you didn't know it. No, you know if you had been dinging or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but what I'm saying is, it's just so ironic that when you look around the league and you see the way these guys fall and hit the turf, go back and look at where we hit the turf and fall. We got right back up, we're back to the hole. You know why? Because we built a tolerance that came from contact. Right. It's not a contact sport that is out there that you don't have to develop a tolerance for. I tell you what, you go box and don't spar. Go box first time you get hit in the head. That's what's going to happen. It's simple as that. Every sport that requires contact, you have to develop a tolerance. Karate, they teach you how to break boards, right? First time you go try to break a board and you ain't trying to, and they haven't developed tolerance in your arm or whatever they build in your hands to break that wood, you try to break it without that shoe, you break the hand. So you have to develop a tolerance.
Yep.
And the NFL, by making the game quote unquote safer for these up and coming players, I think it made the game softer, and I think it's showing its ugly head with the many concussions and all the things that you're seeing with these players, and you know, and I just want to add this to it too. I think for the soft tissue injury, that's what they call it now, soft tissue, the hamstrings, the Achilles, all that kind of stuff. They're overtraining. These new type of analytics people that told these people, this is the way you have your body structure. I can't say the word. But how you had your body carved to the point where you was like a goddess. But no, dude. See, my deal is, if you don't give a body a chance to rest, then it's going to find a way to rest itself. And it may come from injuries, soft tissue injury or some of that nature. Because I played, and it's just me, when I played my first 7 years, I never had a hamstring problem until I started doing off-season workout program. And that was introduced to me in my seventh year by Gene Stallman, and I pulled my first hamstring during that time period. All the other time, I never had an issue. You know why? Because when the season was over with, since Cardinals always over with in November, but we knew that we weren't going anywhere. So from the time the season officially was over, I did nothing football related until May. And that's because we had minicamp, and I would do something to just go to minicamp, just past minicamp, and then I would not do anything football related until after July 4th. Because you had 3 weeks to get ready to go to camp. And that's what we did. And that's why we didn't have a lot of guys get injured. I mean, but
Speaking of that, how many plays did you play every game? What was your how many plays?
It was
probably about 50. Did you do 40?
Somewhere I was out. I was involved with over, if it was 70 plays, about 40 about me. Yeah.
And you never came out after you ran the ball 30, 40 yards.
You know, man.
So you're listening to The Expressway with Charles Show Me The Way and the BT Express. We will be right back in a moment.
All right, go ahead and bring it back. And then we'll talk about the Jets, and then we'll go into the NFL.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. And welcome back to The Expressway. I'm Charles Show Me The Way here with the BT Express. Billy Taylor, and we have just wrapped up talking about our terrible Giants and how everyone feels about our Giants. But if you're a Jets fan, you may feel even worse than the Giants because, good Lord, you fired a coach hoping to light up your team, and you might have fired the wrong guy. You should have benched the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers may be the cancer to this team. And this is what a lot of people in right-wing, left-wing media, whoever wants to be a Jets hater, has blamed Aaron Rodgers for all of their problems, from missing the minicamp to trying to run for vice president of the Tea Party. It's crazy. So a lot of distractions. This is typical. It seems like the Jets are trying to get rid of the moniker of typical Jets being depressed and always screwing up a good thing. But it's kind of hard because he's bringing it upon himself. What do you think, BT?
Well, you gave your true feelings on that. but see, I don't blame Rodgers as much as I blame Jets defense. They're supposed to come in here, one of the top five defenses in the league. Arizona, where Kyle Murray drove down the field five straight times and scored touchdowns. I never seen them do that. The Jets defense didn't even look like they were there. That puts, and then Aaron goes down and gets field goals. So they get 6 points on two drives, 10 and 11 play drives on more than 6 points. So I don't know who to blame, but I'm telling you, this is looking worse than the Giants, and I don't know what's going to happen at the end of the season. Do you bring Aaron Rodgers back? I still think he's good, though, Charles. I still like him. It's just the whole team is kind of flawed, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if you bring Aaron Rodgers back. I think you look in free agency to see if there's anybody available that's worth bringing in. It's tough out there, right? Because how many are you going to hope that you get a Geno Smith? Are you going to hope that you find somebody like Sam Darnold? Oh, you can bring in Joe Flacco, who can't move anymore, and have the same situation that you have right now with Aaron Rodgers, who's 40 years old. He looks like he should be in a wheelchair. That's how bad he moves out there. And so I think Joe Flacco probably moves better than he does, and he's just as old as Aaron Rodgers. So it's just a tough position. I think because how disappointing the offense has been, I think is rubbing off on the defense. I think the defense just don't have the same fight because the offense can't do anything. If the offense were to score points like they should be able to do, given the amount of talent that they have, I think the defense would play a lot better. But I think it's complementary football. When two segments of your team isn't actually doing what they're supposed to do, and you're doing it week in and week out and not getting help, You just get down and don't want to play anymore. And I think that's what you see with the Giants defense. They just looked terrible last week.
Yeah, the Jets defense, I felt sorry for them playing in that kind of situation and looking bad to a team that, you know, a lot of people didn't think was very good in the first place. It's like the Giants losing to Carolina. But we'll see. We have 7 games left, and we'll see. I was just upset at Sauce Gardner for not making tackles in the open field. Okay, let's go around the NFL.
Yeah, so what are some of your highlights? Hey, what about the Miami Dolphins? You got Tua coming off of 3 straight losses and coming back Sunday Night Football, coming back and winning that game against the Rams. Caleb Johnson, Chicago fired their offensive coordinator, Caleb Williams, because Caleb Williams hasn't been performing well and the offense hasn't been doing what they did in the first part of the season. Chicago fires their offensive coordinator. Now it's going to be up to the head coach. I guess he's going to be calling plays now. So let's see who's at fault. Is it the offensive coordinator or is it the quarterback? So we're going to find out right now.
Well, he needed time to kind of sit on the bench and watch other quarterbacks. He started his first game and he's going backwards. I think they need to get him out of there and let him sit for a while. When you fire the offensive coordinator, that means you're bringing in somebody else next year to start all over with Caleb Williams. So I just think they're in trouble. But I was happy that the Eagles beat the Cowboys, and they did it in Dallas, and I always like that. The Buffalo Bills are maybe the team to beat because they beat the Colts pretty good. The Steelers beat the Commanders in a good game. Steelers are hotter than I thought. Maybe Steelers, we have to think about the Steelers. But I think the NFL is, again, week to week. You got to worry. Each week is a different week, and you got to step up when it's time.
And how about Russell Wilson? I mean, that may be a quarterback you can go after, right?
Oh, you're right.
Russell Wilson has. I mean, all the flaws that he has, he might be a good pickup for the Jets. You know, bringing him over here to the Jets may actually help, given that he may have one or two good more years left in him.
But remember, he came to visit the Giants, and the Giants didn't sign him. And I thought, you know, maybe he might be pretty good. But, you know, you only need someone for 1 or 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
After you get rid of Danny Jones after this season, you got to bring somebody in for a year and then get a draft pick and let him sit. So it's going to be deep for both New York and Giants and the Jets for the next. So hopefully they'll get it done with good coaching.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see what happens this week. NFL is always exciting. They always have great games. Thursday Night Football, you got the Eagles Commanders. Let's see how it goes. Eagles might be the team that we all expected them to be. They are rolling. They got Saquon Barkley. They are feeding him. And they're using A.J. Brown when they need a big play. They go to A.J. You know where they're going. And I love what they're doing. But I got to say, I did not play with my heart last week, and I finally won. I was rooting for my man, the Texans. I was hoping they would win. And I was like, well, if they lose, at least I try. I got a game up on Billy. So I was still rooting for the Texans, but they lost. I got 3 wins. I'm slowly but surely catching you. Still up by 6. So hopefully this week I can play with my mind instead of my heart. I'm not going to go with my favorite teams. Although I wish I would have went with Arizona because they blew them boys out.
And Kyler Murray, I have to turn my say the truth, he looked good. Did you see him?
I did. The first 5 plays. First 5 series against the terrible Jets. Couldn't even watch that game. So let's go with the Commanders versus the Eagles. They're playing in Philly. I just don't know. I think Jaden Daniels has had a great season up to this point, but I just think the Eagles are on a roll. I don't know if they can beat the Eagles right now. I'm going with the Eagles.
I'm going to go with the Eagles also, and the only reason is because their quarterback for the Eagles hadn't turned the ball over in 3 games, and he had 7 in the first 8. So that's why I'm going with the Eagles. You don't turn the ball over, I think they win.
And their defense is legit, and they are one of the better defenses in the NFL. Green Bay and Chicago, we just talked about this. They just fired their offensive coordinator, see if they can get back on track. This is a game that I know we're going to be we're going to go opposite directions because I'm going to go Chicago this week.
I'm going with the Packers then. Okay.
Ravens, Steelers. Okay. You can't bet against Mike Tomlin, brother. I'm just saying. This dude, week in and week out, finds a way to win. I hate Lamar Jackson, though. But for some reason, they are on a roll right now, right?
See, I don't see why you hate Lamar, because on the last 4 years, he's gotten better. And he can play that better than he ever has. And they should be in the AFC Championship. I'm picking them to go to the Super Bowl.
Okay, but they have never won an AFC Championship game. He makes it to the championship. He's gotten better every year and has stopped and has lost the same game every year, the AFC Championship. So I don't see it, but I'm going to go with the Ravens because I think it's time for the Steelers to lose.
All right, you're going with the Ravens. I'm going with the Steelers.
All right, Jaguars-Lions. This isn't even a game. I think the Jaguars is competing with the Giants for the number one pick. The good thing is, if the Jaguars get the number one pick, you know they're not going to be looking for a quarterback. They may trade out of that position to get more picks, but I'm going to go with the Lions in this game.
I'm going to go with the Lions also, and I don't think that Trevor Lawrence, I don't think you can trade him making $50 million.
Mm-hmm. And if if Trevor Lawrence were on the trading block, I think the Giants should be the first ones after him, because he still is a good quarterback.
You're right.
And better than Daniel Jones. Rams and the Patriots. I like what the Patriots are doing. Rams had a good game last week. But I'm going to go with the Patriots.
I'm going with the Rams. BT's going with the Rams. CW's going with the Patriots.
Browns versus the Saints. Saints had a good win last week.
I was shocked on that one.
I'm going to go with the Browns just because I just don't think their quarterback, Jameis Winston, is the answer. I'm going with the Saints.
I'm going to go with the Browns only because their defense is good. BT with the Browns, CW with the Saints.
Colts versus the Jets. If the Jets have given up, I don't think they will win this game. I'm hoping they haven't given up, but who knows? This is a tough game because the Jets should beat these dudes.
Well,
but I'm gonna go with I hate saying this. I'm gonna go with the Jets, and it's sad that I'm reluctantly going with the Jets.
I'm going with the Colts. You're going with the Jets.
All right, Vikings, Titans. I'm going with the Vikings. Easy game to pick.
Yeah, I'm going with the Vikings also.
Raiders versus Dolphins. As much as I like AP and I got to go with my boy, I'm going against my boy this week. I'm going with the Dolphins.
I'm going with the Dolphins also because I think they maybe have woken up.
Mm-hmm. Falcons and the Broncos. Broncos have been playing very well. I know they lost last week, but they've been playing very well. And the Falcons is just a so-so team. I don't think they're a top echelon team. I'm going to go with the Broncos. They're playing in Denver.
I'm going with the Falcons. You're going with the Broncos.
Seahawks, 49ers. I'm going with the 49ers. They got Christian McCaffrey back.
Yeah, I'll go with the 49ers also. They look powerful last week.
This should be a really good game. Chiefs versus the Bills. I wish it was a Sunday night football game. They're playing in Buffalo. Chiefs. This is probably the game. If they're going to lose, they're going to lose this game. I'm going with the Bills.
I'm going with the Chiefs. BT with the Chiefs. CW with the Bills.
Bengals versus the Chargers. This is a tough game. Bengals are starting to come on. I think Joe Smooth has probably they got a stretch of games. They win a few in a row. Always, I'm going with Cincinnati.
I'm going with the Chargers. You're going with the Bengals.
Texans, Cowboys. The Cowboys season is over for all intents and purposes. I'm going with the Texans. Yeah, that's right.
I'm going with the Texans also. Is that all the games?
That's it.
Okay, so I'm going with the Browns. You're going with the Saints. I'm going with the Colts. You're going with the Jets. I'm going with the Packers. You're going with the Bears. I'm going with the Rams. You're going with the Patriots. I'm going with the Steelers. You're going with the Ravens. I'm going with the Falcons. You're going with the Broncos. I'm going with the Chiefs. You're going with the Bills. I'm going with the Chargers. You're going with the Bengals. We got a lot on the line this week, man.
I know. You went against me on a lot of games. So
I showed this. So we're going to have a different story next week. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that is the Expressway Show for today. I thank my buddy Charles Way. We call it Show Me the Way and the BT Express. Join us each and every week. We're on YouTube and different channels. Just check your local listings. So for Charles Way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Billy Taylor. Thanks for joining us and have a nice day.
This is
Alumni Media.